بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is worthy of praise, the one who has blessed us with everything that we have, the one who has given us this beautiful nature and scenery and the good weather that we enjoy, who has given us the opportunity to enjoy the months of summer with our families, given us the opportunity to relax. Alhamdulillah. Now is the time when these vacations come to an end. Our children have been out of touch with school, most children have, with their teachers, with their classmates, with their friends, and the parents also. Now, you haven't spoken to your child's teacher, most chances are, in the last couple of months. You haven't spoken to the principal. You haven't spoken, most likely, to other parents. The after-school programs, most of them had come to an end. Perhaps there were summer camps. Weekend school was not running either. So there were many things that we were normally accustomed to, many people we normally see, but during the summertime, all of that was paused. As this all starts up again in the next week or so, we will have many new interactions. Even at work, most chances are that things will pick up, people will be back from their vacations, and everyone's going to be, or supposed to be, serious again about work and about whatever needs to be done. The point is that overall, the interactions that you're going to have with one another, with other people, are likely going to increase. You will likely come across, especially for the children and the students, you will likely come across people, you will be introduced to people who you don't know. Now, when we know that we are going to meet someone, especially for the first time, when we know that we are going somewhere, okay, so it's the first day of school, it's a job interview, it's your first day at work, or even afterwards, we want to look nice. We want to look good. We want to smell nice. We want people to be impressed at us, because as the saying goes, the first impression lasts, right? So you're meeting a client, you're going to work, you're going to school, you want to be proper, and even afterwards as well, you want to be looking the best possible most of the time so that people are impressed and they have a good impression of you. And this affects how we dress. This affects the way we groom ourselves, the type of perfume we use even, right? All of these things matter to us because they're going to affect how people perceive us and what people are going to think about us. Now, regardless of how hard we work on all of these areas, the one thing that is most likely to stand out, the one thing that is most likely to stand out and that is most likely to leave a lasting impression is our character, our manners, the way we behave, and the way we treat others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was said he had an exalted state of character when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that verily, O you Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are on an exalted standard of character. So his character was not ordinary. His character was not just above average, but his character was the highest. It was an exalted position of character. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ. And on the Not just that, وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَمْلِ وَالْإِسْسَبِيلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, worship Allah and join none with Him in worship, and deal with ihsan in a manner of goodness with your parents, with parents, with your relatives, with orphans, with the poor, with the neighbor who is near to you. Some of the scholars of Quran say that this refers to perhaps relatives, the neighbor who is distant or who is a stranger as well, the companion by your side, even on a bus or a train or when you're driving, the companion by your side, and the wayfarer, the traveler that you meet. Basically, what we understand from this, what we can extrapolate from this, is that we are to be good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to be good, to have good manners towards everyone. Our parents, relatives, orphans, poor, neighbors who are close, relatives, neighbors who are strangers who are far, companions beside us, travelers, everyone is included in this. Basically, anyone whose company we are in. Anyone whose company we are in. Our presence should not be a source of harm or a source of trouble for anyone. This is basically what we learn from this. Because all of these people that are mentioned are not just those who are close to us, right? So anyone around us, right? Whether they're poor, whether they're neighbors, whether they're relatives, parents, anyone that we have an interaction with, people beside us, not just next door neighbors, right? So you're in class, the person who's sitting beside you, right? You're at work, the person in the next cubicle beside you, right? You're driving, the people around you who are driving at that particular moment, they are all your neighbors, companions by your side. So anyone whose company we are in, we want to make sure that our presence is not a source of harm for them. Our presence is not a source of trouble to them. Our presence instead should be a form of peace and a form of mercy to them. Now this includes, what does this include now? So this includes, first of all, using good words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And say to my servants that what? They should only say those words that are best. What should they say? The words that are ahsan, the words that are the best, that are the nicest, that are the most appropriate. So this tells us that a believer should not be, cannot be careless with his or her words. Because a lot of times what happens is we are emotional, something happens, we are upset, or we are very happy, and we don't think about what we are saying. And there's so many words that escape our mouths, whether we're with our friends or with our colleagues or anyone else, right? So be careful about the words, because the believers are to say only what that is best, that is good. You see, the problem is, what happens is that often we think of Islam, we compartmentalize Islam. So we say, okay, we have a type of Islam that we're going to practice at home. There's a type of Islam that we're going to practice in the masjid, that we're in the company of other Muslims. Then there's some other form of Islam that we're going to practice when we're at school, when we're at work, right? And this is not how a believer should think. A believer, a true believer, for him or her, Islam is always there, right? Sure, there's different rulings, different things that may apply at different times, but the basics and the essentials are the same. And the basic principles are to be acted upon all the time, and not just in particular circumstances. So it's not just about ritual worship. Islam is not just worrying about, about offering our salah. Not to say that that's not important. Of course it's important, it's an obligation, right? Or, it's not just about what's permissible and what's not in terms of eating and so on. Not just the things that are very visible, right? That's not what just Islam is about. All of those things are important. But we need to have a holistic approach to Islam, where we learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have taught us, and then we internalize that, so that it makes us a better Muslim. And when we become a better Muslim, it should also make us a better human being. If somebody thinks that they're becoming a better Muslim, but they're actually not becoming a better human being, there's a problem there. And there's a disconnect. There's something that's not really working. Okay? So it has to be about, yes, following Islam, doing what Allah is telling us with regards to our worship, dealing with others, but also about our own state and how we should be. So these are very, very important, these teachings. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put great emphasis, he put great emphasis, great importance on having good manners, having good character. Very, very important. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُكَمِّمَ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have been sent, or I have only been sent, according to another translation, to perfect good manners. So this is a very important part of our deen, and there's no shortage of teachings. When we look at the ahadith, the sayings and traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no shortage when it comes to teachings regarding good character and good manners. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. That the believers who have perfected their faith, the believers who have perfected their iman are who? Are those whose behavior is most excellent. So this tells us that iman and belief is not just something to keep in our heart and just something to give lip service to, but it should affect our behavior. It should affect the way we park our cars in parking lots. Especially when we come for Jum'ah, right? Because other places, you know, we'll do it properly. But sometimes when we go to a masjid, you know, alhamdulillah here, we don't really have problems. Alhamdulillah, hope it stays that way. Right? Perhaps because it's a public facility, right? But our iman should affect all of these things, right? What we say on our taxes, tax forms. People come to me, Shaykh, you know, there's a fatwa somewhere that it's okay to lie on your taxes. What are you talking about? It's not. It's lying. If you're lying on your tax form, you're lying. How can a Muslim lie? You're crossing the border, coming at the airport, not declaring stuff. You're lying. Is that the quality of a believer? Is that how a believer should be? No. That's right. Thank you. Okay? So, all of these things need to be internalized. So this tells us, this hadith, that yes, it's a part of our faith. It is a part of our faith, meaning that our faith is not just about what we say and what we believe in, and how we worship, but it's also about our character and how it is manifested. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also told us that good character is actually equivalent to extra worship. Wow, subhanAllah. It's actually equivalent to extra worship. A believer will attain by his good behavior the rank of one who prays during the night and observes fasting during the day. Reported by Timothy, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Think about that. A believer will attain by his or her good behavior the rank of one who prays during the night and observes fasting during the day because of their good character, because of their good behavior. Not just that. On the day of resurrection, we know that there are things, everything's going to matter because every single deed is going to count, right? No matter how small, no matter how large. And we know that the acts of worship are requirements, absolutely must be done. There's no question about that. And of course, they will all be, you know, asked about on the day of resurrection. But the Prophet ﷺ said, nothing is weightier, nothing is heavier on the scale of deeds than one's good manners. There's nothing that can be heavier. There is nothing, actually, that is heavier on the scale of deeds than one's good manners. So you'll have all of your other actions, and they be placed, so they'll have some sort of physical form, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best how it's going to be. I think of them like beads or marbles or sacks or whatever, okay? So there's some sort of physical form of Rasulullah ta'ala knows best. They'll be put on the scale on the resurrection. But when the good manners will be put onto the scale, they will be the one with the most weight. So even if it's small, it will be very heavy. Okay, so this also tells us, and this is reported by Imam Bukhari. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was of exalted character, now, what does that mean? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to? What were the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا صَلَّاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. They have not sent you except as a mercy, not just to the Muslims, not just to human beings, not just to planet Earth. Right? رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. عَالَمِينَ meaning everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Okay, so if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is someone that we claim to believe in, we say that, you know, we love him and we want to follow him, what should our character and our manners be like? Some examples. Anas radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best amongst people, both in shape and character, and was the most generous of them, was the bravest of them. So he was generous, he was brave, and the best when it came to character. If you compare him to anyone, he would be at the top. He also said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not an abuser. He was not a person who would abuse people, whether it's physically or verbally or in any other way. He was not the one who would use foul language or curse people. This was not the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So how could a believer have that character if a believer claims to follow and love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would visit the sick. He would follow the funeral processions. He would accept invitations from people. Right? So very kind. Whenever it came to interactions, unless there was a very important reason not to do so, he would go ahead and give whatever he could in terms of his time, his energy, and his attention to the people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was the best of people, the best of leaders, the best of teachers, he had and still has a very great position, obviously, right? Best of the creation, best of the people. So at the top, very important personality. Everyone wants to talk to him. Everyone wants to approach him. You know, on the one hand, there's people who are coming to meet him. There's Bedouins coming to meet him. There's the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. There's the people of Suffa. Angel Jibreel alayhi salam is coming to meet him. So he's in demand, right? He's a very busy person, as you can imagine. But at the same time, he would have good manners even at home. So his home was not an area that he neglected. Because I'm busy with my work, because I'm busy dealing with people, so I'm going to neglect my responsibilities and my interactions at home. Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, and this comes as a surprise many times when we relate this hadith, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would mend his own shoes. He would mend his shoes, his sandals. He would sew his clothing himself and do the work of the house as ordinary people among you do. Okay, so he would help in the chores of the house, take care of his own clothing, take care of his own shoes, his footwear, his sandals. Not that say, oh Aisha, come here, do this for me, do that. No, that was not the approach. The approach was, why should I trouble other people to help to serve me? Why shouldn't I try to do it myself? This was the perfected character. This was the approach of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha was asked what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do in his house. So when he was at home, what did he used to do? She replied, he used to serve his family. He used to serve his family, not the other way around. He used to serve his family. When the time for prayer came, he used to go out for the prayer. Okay, so he was maintaining his responsibility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also his responsibility towards his family as well. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha, also said about him that he never hit anyone with his hands. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam never hit anyone with his hands, not a woman, not a servant, no one, except if he was in a struggle for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was involved in a battle which he had to be involved in, then in that case, he would have, but otherwise, normal circumstances, he never even hit anyone, not even a woman or a servant. So if you look at all of these characteristics, and there are many more, it comes down to one thing, and that is that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was never a burden for the people around him. He was never a burden for those who were around him. And how could he be if he was sent as a mercy to everyone? So we should also, because we're following his example, right? So we should also aim to be a blessing, a mercy to those who are around us, not a burden and a liability. That should be our approach. That should be how we approach our interactions. So, for example, I was talking about going back to school and going back to work. So we'll be working hard, most likely on looking good, on impressing others. We want to be clean, we want to be well-groomed. And this is all important. I'm not trying to minimize the importance of that. At the same time, you know, we should be working hard, we should be studying hard, do well, and excel in everything that we do. Because this is the other thing, that the believer does not aim to be mediocre. Okay? The believer wants to excel. So whatever you're doing, you're studying at work, work hard, fulfill your responsibilities, and try to excel. But what is most likely to impress Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most, and is most likely to impress others as well, and most likely to leave a lasting impression upon them, are your manners and your character. So my brothers and sisters, let us watch what we say. Let us watch how we say it. Right? What type of language do we use? What type of discussions do we have around the water cooler? at work, right? Or what type of discussions are we having with the friends, with our friends on the bus for students, right? Are these discussions where we're lying about people, where we're gossiping, where we're backbiting? And let's think about what we do and how we do it. Okay, so if we are upset, if we are frustrated, how do we react? Do we react with patience? Do we react with kindness, forgiveness if someone does something wrong to us? Right, you go to a store, you go somewhere, an employee makes a mistake, says something that you don't like. How do you react to that? You know, do you start shouting at them? Do you start berating them? Right, all of these things affect us. Right, all of these things should be a matter of concern for the believers. Right, so think about what it says about you. So think about whatever you say and you do, how you behave. What does it say about you? How do others feel about you? Not just based on how you look and your appearance and your clothing and so on, but about how you behave. And most importantly, how will Allah feel about you because of your words and your actions and the way you treat people? At the end of the day, the main question is your presence a source of peace, comfort, and ease for people around you? Or is it a source of trouble? Is it a source of pain and suffering? I'll end with the advice of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, when he said, that fear Allah wherever you are, meaning, know that you're going to be accountable for your deeds, be conscious of the presence of Allah, so behave properly and accordingly. So, fear Allah wherever you are. Follow up a bad deed with a good deed, and it will blot it out. Okay? So if you do a bad deed, follow it as soon as possible with a good deed. Now, of course, he's referring to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I also say this is very good for our interactions with each other. Okay? So if you do something to hurt someone, you end up doing something where someone got hurt or took offense or something happened, try to do something good to make up for it. Do something positive afterwards. And finally, he said, and deal with people in a good manner. This is from the advice that he said, that he gave. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to excel in everything that is good. So whether it's our work, our study, or anything else that we do, especially our characters and our manners, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who bring peace, comfort others with our presence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being those whose presence is a source of trouble and a source of discomfort for others. Ameen wa khudawa and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. A few quick announcements. So inshallah, starting next week, we will be offering Friday's prayers, the Jama'ah prayer, once again at the Witchcraft Recreation Center, inshallah, RRC on Innovation Drive, just off of Terry Fox, close to March Road. So that's number one. Number two, because the Dhuhr time is coming back now, we will be starting at 1 o'clock beginning next week, inshallah. Okay? So we want to try to start early, finish early, so we'll start at 1 o'clock starting next week, inshallah. And I just want to mention two other things. So we have two guests with us here today. So Marianne Wilkinson is a local counselor and has been very helpful in arranging and helping us get access to facilities, is here outside. And Karen Ekerman, the Liberal candidate nominee for the writing of Kanata Carlton, is also here. She was here with us last week, but she did not get an opportunity to speak for a few minutes. So today, after the prayer, inshallah, after the salah, she'll have a few minutes, a couple of minutes, 2-3 minutes, inshallah, to have a short message. And once again, this opportunity is available to all candidates from all parties. So from time to time, you will be having them come in and to have this short discussion, inshallah. One last thing I want to mention is that last night, the Muslim Coordinating Council of the National Capital Region held a session, an open meeting, with members of law enforcement and intelligence agencies. So there were representatives from the RCMP, from CSIS, from the Canada Border Services Agency, from Ottawa Police and Public Safety Canada at the Ottawa Main Mosque, and this was open to everyone. So alhamdulillah, the Canada Muslim Association was also represented there, and we were present, and we had a good discussion, and we raised concerns about issues and things which are of importance to the community, as did others, and inshallah, we hope that our openness will lead to a fruitful relationship, one that is fair and respectful, inshallah, we are always willing to work together with government agencies and anyone else, really to ensure that our communities and our country